And tonight we begin Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. This is the last chapter of Proverbs written by King Solomon. This is, well, mostly. And then more on that later. But then, and remember, this particular part that we've been going through in the last couple of chapters have been because King Hezekiah found some scrolls in the temple and dug them out and read through them and said, you know what, this is great, and we need to have our people listen to these and pay attention. So they read those. So that is what we get to read, and we're going to finish that up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe. So, all right. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. I'll begin. And as always, the turtle will come around. If you would like to read, read the next verse when it's your turn. Otherwise, pass it along, and the next person will read. Proverbs chapter 29, and verse 1, it says, "A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy." And the question we always ask, what does that mean?
That's a good question.
So let's first define some of these hard words. What does it mean to be stiff-necked?
Stiff-necked?
Yeah.
On that neck?
Yeah.
Rebellious.
Hard-headed.
Haughty.
Haughty.
Stubborn.
What?
Stubborn.
Okay.
So what are we describing here?
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
What are we describing in this proverb?
Somebody that's not bothered or feels anything that they're being told that's wrong. They keep on doing it.
Yeah.
So that means eventually they will be struck down, or mine says shattered instantly.
Shattered instantly. Good. And for the record, we have many different versions in here, so if you don't understand, just ask. We'll read a different version and we'll make sense out of it. So rebuke. I should have read a couple of more big words. So the rebuke, that's correction, right? Someone who's been corrected a lot. Shattered instantly or destroyed without remedy. What does it mean to remedy something?
Take care of it.
To fix it, right? So if you don't listen and you've been asked to change and you still won't, there's no fixing it. You'll be destroyed, shattered, broken. All right. Everybody understand what we're talking about here? That's hard. Any real life examples you ever seen of that? Not in your life, of course. So then the question is, what categories on this sheet of paper can we assign this particular proverb?
I think fools.
Fools, good.
And then prideful, because they refuse to get corrected.
Pride, good. Would you call it fools, or would you say scorner?
Both.
Okay, so yeah. So remember, we've said that when we look at those definitions at the top, we've said wise is, of course, someone who seeks God. Wicked, they're just all about doing evil. The simple kind of are the ignorant ones who don't know that it's wrong and they do it, and they can be corrected. Scorners are those who have completely and totally rejected anything good or anything about God. And the fools are those who've been corrected but turn around and don't change. But the scorners are the ones who say, "You can correct me all day long. I don't care." So pride. What other categories would you assign this to?
Justice.
What's that?
Justice.
Justice?
Justice.
Good. What about accountability?
Disrespect.
Disrespect. Good. Anyone think this is an illusion? That they're walking in the world of an illusion?
They are walking in the world of illusion, but God is telling them, do it or don't, or see what happens.
Yeah. Right. Very good. Who would like to begin with verse 2? That was my fault because I looked at the wrong person.
I had it.
You're making him work to read.
That's okay. He's young. He can do it. Verse 2.
When the righteous flourish, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, people groan.
What are we talking about here?
I think the righteous are about freedom, and the wicked are about like dictatorships, things like that.
Very good. It's a great analogy.
Very similar to chapter 28, verse 28 that we did last week.
Yep.
When the wicked come to power, people hide. When they are destroyed, the righteous flourish.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like the next step. The people is the same. The first half of the verse and the second half of the verse is people rejoice, people groan. So it's almost like if there are righteous people or there are wicked people, you don't even have to be somebody who considers themselves like a follower of God to figure out this is good. This is bad.
That's right. Good.
I think it's amazing that God puts these verses in here because, that Solomon even wrote them down because I think sometimes we'd like to believe that it's not going to happen this way. Mm-hmm. And for us, we shouldn't be surprised when it does because he addresses it multiple times.
Why are we surprised when bad behavior occurs when we read about it?
Yeah.
And we know that it's going to happen that way?
You're going to see it. It's not...
Good.
It's not... Yeah.
To call to surround yourself by righteous people. Your choice more often when you do so.
Yeah. Very good.
Faithfulness and faith.
Very good. So the categories we can begin assigning are faithfulness...
Disrespect as well.
Yeah, disrespect.
Yeah, she's on it.
What about, go ahead.
I was going to say illusion, kind of going back to my comment. You know, sometimes we'd like to believe that things will always be perfect and it won't happen this way, but it can...
What about joy?
Down in my heart?
Yeah.
Where?
Down in my heart. How about wicked, too?
Yeah, wicked would be good.
Oh.
What about the righteous?
I got that one.
Yep. That's a good one.
Number 4,
righteous. There you go.
You are nine.
All right, so verse 3.
He who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion, what is this?
A companion?
Waste. Holy cow, I'm not even that.
but a companion of prostitutes squanders as well.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. So a couple words in there. Let's define wisdom. If you look at the top of the sheet, what is wisdom?
Wisdom?
What did you say?
At the top of the sheet, what is wisdom?
It's the equal skill of the Lord, plus knowledge, plus understanding.
Okay.
Relationship with Jesus.
That's a relationship with Jesus. That's right. And so when we look at the next part, it says he brings joy or gladness to his father. What is a companion?
An ally.
Okay, an ally. Of course, we all know what prostitutes or harlots are, right? And what does the word squander mean?
Someone that lives in your house.
Waste.
Yes. Waste. That's the word.
Good. Not a squatter.
Oh.
Squander.
Oh, squander. Yeah. My bad.
My translation says destroys. Instead of squander, it's destroys.
Destroys
wealth.
Very good. Consorts.
Consorts.
As squanders?
Well, no, as the how you relate to prostitutes, someone who consorts with.
Okay.
Yep.
Waste. Destroy.
Waste. Yes.
Any other versions that have other words? We are in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 3. All right, so what categories can we assign verse 3 for this proverb?
Money.
Money, okay.
It's talking about money, though, it's prostitution, or a lot of sins really, do have a monetary kind of drain on them, as well as a spiritual way. I mean, this to a certain extent can bankrupt you from your family, bankrupt your friends.
Yeah.
It's not just that. Paul talks about that in the Bible. You're just not sinning for yourself, you're sinning from your body too, because your body is a holy temple.
Yeah,
it's for
Corinthians. That's good.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the AI that got $40 million as a video AI chat from, I don't know how many men, but it was just an AI video chat. These men were giving more than $40 million to something that was not real, but was essentially was giving the virtual version of this. You know,
yeah,
did not exist, not a real person, you know, not a real voice, just some dudes in a basement doing stuff on their computer, sending it to other dudes in their basement doing stuff on their computer. Mm-hmm. $40+ million gone. Thousands of men giving money, destroying their wealth.
Those are things like addictions, right?
Oh, I don't know about it. Addictions, but yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Prostitution, we like to give it a fancy word, but it's nothing more than a type of addiction.
Mm-hmm. I guess my point was to say, you don't have to go to the quote-unquote local brothel anymore.
No, you don't.
You're not going
to. We're not called the computerization of it. It's almost a victimless crime in a sense. You're not.
Because it's just one person
making that decision. Yeah.
Sure.
And right here in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Give that five.
I would say not only just for, like, you know, for men and women that, you know, watch it online, but also, like, say for, like, you know, you have all these females or individuals that are, like, willingly doing it, like posting on OnlyFans or posting themselves, like, you know, actively doing that, where it's like, that in itself is an addiction too, just getting the money from that or the attention or whatever you want. Like, you know, once again, that still robs you from every, like, you know, it robs you of your respect, your joy, like, you know, all those things. Like, you know, either way you slice it or dice it, you know, it's still robbing you of, like, wisdom and bringing yourself joy and others joy too.
Yeah,
it's
sorry, go ahead, Scoot.
Plus, no matter what stuff you do, it's that dopamine in your brain
oh, I gotta have this, is that craving, that chemical craving. So like anything that you do, you get that chemical craving, and that can lead into wrong things, going to astray. And that's what Jesus is talking about. When people who go astray, you need to come right back. And you just, oh.
I saw the solution being, I'm trying to bring joy to my Father. That's a weird opposite, you know. Why am I not doing this activity that's, yes, sinful, also destructive to my personal wealth? Well, I want to make my mom and dad proud. That's interesting.
That's a good definition of depravity.
Sure. Okay. There's another write-in.
What? How do you spell that?
D-U-V-R-A-B-I-T-Y. Depravity.
Well, and didn't we have a discussion many, many chapters ago where, and I can't even remember which topic it was, of how, and I think it applies here in general as well, of how some of those addictions or habits, we'll call them, our habits can actually alter our brain. Kind of going back to the dopamine thing that you're talking about, you know, it can actually, you know, it can change our brain, you know, the makeup of our brain. You know, going back to the depravity thing, it can really be depravity versus wisdom having such a healthy response for our brain. So,
yeah,
you know.
Like Pastor Nate's
example, yeah.
Version says destroy.
Yeah.
Changes our self-worth and how we think about things. Like, I don't feel worthy or I don't feel loved or whatever the case unless I go back to this, or I don't feel like, you know, I have any. Like we said, you're feeling robbed of joy. Like, I don't have any joy or anything, any value to me unless I go back to this or whatever, where, you know, instead that time 100% could be filled with prayer and talking to others, having people hold us accountable for things like that, or, you know, just, I don't know, trying to find that different sense of joy or worth, you know.
Down in your heart.
So we added depravity.
We've said words like, go ahead.
I don't remember the first part of the verse, but it talks about God giving a member to the depraved mind.
Yeah.
Romans 1:8.
What is it?
Romans 1:8. 120. Bigger spot in Romans.
Well, and that really would go back to verse 1 then. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without remedy. Yeah.
Warning and instruction.
Very good.
Obviously, yeah. The warning and instruction. But if I'm to look at this, this is the goal is to please our Father in heaven, right? With obedience.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's not an out if you don't have an earthly father and mother. It's trying to say you're right. Let's look at who mom and dad are trying to represent when they're leading you, and when they fail, who can you still look to? That's great. Gosh.
So there you're looking at sovereignty of God.
Sovereignty.
Parents.
In a way, even his compassion.
Yeah, contentment for honor.
Self-control.
Contentment, honor, self-control.
Integrity.
I got that one too.
Very good.
Yeah.
Integrity.
Fools.
Thank you.
Yep. Fools. There we go. Selfish. Lying. Lying to yourself. Lying to others. We've had illusion and disrespect in our conversation.
What about prideful?
Pride. Good. Yep.
according to Romans, all this was caused by they didn't believe God was the creator.
They didn't believe what?
They didn't believe God was the creator.
Romans
didn't honor him.
Therefore, they don't have wisdom.
It's really
Romans 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21?
Yeah, to the end, really. It talks about everything.
Big intro.
Paul's introduction of, and this is what sin looks like.
It takes a few chapters.
All right. Very good. Let's go to verse 4. Chapter 29 and verse 4.
The king establishes the land by justice, and he who receives bribes overthrows it.
Okay. What are we describing?
Rules. Rules, the first part of it.
There you go. Rules.
He's the king is establishing rules.
Yeah. Rules with actions or consequences. Mm-hmm. Justice. Justice has the idea of what?
Fairness.
Fairness, thank you. And so the second part of that, when we're talking about bribes, what are bribes?
Well, I'd be curious the different translations on this word.
Yeah.
All right.
One says bribes.
Contributions.
Yeah, if anybody's got a study Bible, this is a fun one.
Oh, man.
Contributions, you said?
Demands,
contributions. Okay. So receiveth gifts. Is King James.
So this is why I'm asking. It's talking about things you would normally bring for worship and to make someone feel like they're a god. And Pharaoh would see himself as a deity or any of the Roman Empire or emperors.
Okay, good. What does yours say?
It's contribution.
Contribution.
You know, each time I hear a Pharaoh, I got one song stuck in my head. You probably know what that song is, right?
It's not coconut.
No, it's Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go.
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
So what categories can you assign verse 4?
Justice.
Justice.
Greed.
Good. Greed.
Duty.
Duty.
Where is Jen?
What about truth?
Giving on here?
Generosity.
There we go.
First one in the right category.
There we go. Thank you.
Well, the first one is the king's justice is to bring stability to the land. I put it's a firm foundation. He's creating something good for the people.
Good.
Good.
So when we talk about Proverbs having two meanings, we often talk about how it relates to us in our world, but then as a secondary, we always say, or we should be primary, some of these Proverbs can go either way in a spiritual context, right? So if the king is building justice and stability on a firm foundation, that would be God building this firm foundation. How then does it describe us in the second half of that verse?
Counsel and disrespect, right?
Yeah, disrespect. What'd you say?
You're talking in the context of contributions. I think it's more of a, when I hear contributions, I kind of think it's all one and the same. You're all, you all owe me something. Whereas justice kind of gives this idea of right and wrong.
So do we ever feel like, have you ever heard someone, let's say it this way, have you ever heard someone when they talk sound like God owes them something?
Do you get evangelist?
Well, there is that.
And I look at his contributions as somebody that is giving. They want to. They want to give that money. They want to give that service. They want to give that love. So that's a contribution in my eyes. But
yeah,
I think of like TV preachers, so like in the old days, where they were like, how much would you contribute? So like they
buying
a lot of money.
Yeah, buying a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Kind of the bribe aspect.
Kind of like, so kind of like rock radio station does. They're like, oh, how much you want to donate? Oh, how much you want to do this? Come on, donate this. That's how I think of contribution. You like donate the money to a radio station.
Good. Any other categories that you would assign this to? I don't want to stop good discussion. What?
You can even put honor as far as like looking at both sides of things. Honor and counsel is what I have on here.
Good. Honor and counsel. Verse 5.
A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet.
All right. So what does it mean to flatter?
Praise.
But then it contrasts that, and what does it mean to set a net for their feet?
Trap.
Very good.
Well, mine says it's spreading a net for his own feet.
Trap.
It's just, yeah, for his feet. Mine doesn't say for someone else's feet.
Mm-hmm. But not my feet either.
Yeah, mine says lies and trap liars. Moreover, the evil one is trapped by his own actions.
What does the Tom version say on this one?
That's what your verse says?
No, it's my commentary. Sorry.
Mine just says he who flatters people is building a trap for himself.
Good.
I reminds me of a story I once heard where there was a guy and a girl that went out for a date, and the guy thought he was picking up sugar, and he put it in his coffee, and it turns out it was salt. And she's like, oh, you like salt in your coffee? And he's like, yeah, I like salt in my coffee. And, you know, they end up getting married and stuff, and all the time she put salt in his coffee, and he never stated to correct her or whatever, because he always wanted to impress her and say, hey, I was different. I like salt in my coffee. And he's like, I really hate salt in my coffee. And he just never corrected her.
That's a great example.
It is. I'm like, wow, that's perfect.
Oh, really?
Well,
apparently that's how Eli and
Hannah
met. No. As much sugar as I put in my coffee, that would be terrible. So what categories can we assign this? Flattery creates a trap for yourself.
I think discernment is one. I mean, we've had so many verses that has talked about telling the truth and flattering tongue. It doesn't go well.
Right.
Kind of like the salt situation she just described. I think it takes a lot of discernment, maybe even truth to, you know, that it's, you need to speak truth.
Yep. So far we have discernment and truth and your tongue. What comes off your lips?
Lying.
Is that what you said? Lying, yes.
Pride.
Good. setting an illusion. Verse 6.
A wicked man will be caught in his own sin, but a righteous can freely sing and be glad.
Well, we have to hear the top version.
Cool.
I like that it kind of talks that, like, evil people aren't exempt from sin. Like, sin is equally bad for bad people as it is for good people. There's still... You know, like, it's not like, oh, this person is in a bad situation. You know, I'm not trying to say not to be helpful to them, but sometimes that pain is certainly warranted. And I don't know if this is making sense.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I feel like verse 6 goes a lot with, like, what we read earlier, verse 3, where... Like, you know, where especially it talks about, like, an evil person caught by sin, where, like, in verse 3 it says, like, the one who consorts with prostitutes destroys his wealth, where it's, like, it can kind of go hand in hand. Like, you know, if you're caught up in your sin and stuff, you eventually will get caught with that, and it will destroy everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, the flip side of this verse, you can kind of ask, why are they rejoicing? It's because they're no longer... caught in that sin if you're righteous. You know, we now have a reason to sing. A reason, it's half of what we do on Sunday mornings, you know.
Right. You've been rescued, you can rejoice. You can not minimize the blessing that you have.
I remember I had a manager in college, I was washing dishes and I had just music playing loudly because I was washing dishes, and it was like some kind of heavy alternative rock thing, and he heard the words and it was Christian music, but he was in a band, like a struggling indie band trying to make it big, and he loved the music, and then he listened into the words and was like, whoa, I didn't know Christian music could be this. Yeah, and I just remember that being such a shock to him, because it was fun. His only category was something like Gregorian chant, you know, and that was it. That was his whole Christian music background, and he
Striper is completely different, isn't it?
That's right. The hell with the devil, absolutely. I might be getting my songs mixed up there, but yeah.
I'm not a Striper.
Good. So what categories can we assign this verse, this proverb?
I got righteous.
Okay.
Joy.
Righteous. Joy.
And then evil and death.
Evil and death. Our words matter, huh? Any others?
About
a
ton.
Yeah.
I have faithfulness or faith in here.
Mm-hmm. Good. Faith.
Put that joy in there too.
Down in my heart.
Got that.
Joy. Down in my heart. Sorry, that's all stuck in my head.
What about justice?
And I had wicked as well.
Wicked, scorners, justice. All right, let's hit verse 7.
The righteous person knows the rights of the poor, but the wicked one does not understand these concerns.
What's the concept here?
Caring. Somebody that's caring.
Caring, good.
Versus somebody that's not caring.
Not caring.
It's kind of like, what's caring. Your initial reaction? Is it the, oh, they smell or they need a shower kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Is it a you thing or is it a, what? Are they afflicted or are they afflicted to do?
Very good. Perspective. Being aware. So what categories would you assign this kind of proverb to?
Kindness.
Kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Compassion.
Gentleness.
Gentle.
Mercy. Compassion.
Grace.
Grace.
Justice.
Justice.
Firm foundation.
Sure.
You're caring about the poor and the humility of mercy, right?
Correct. Humility.
Love.
Love. Would you call it accountability?
Is that on here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the wicked, they don't have concerns. They're selfish.
Selfish? And you said wicked? Yeah. Yeah. The wicked are selfish. Good. I chose the category neighbors. Part of that idea of being aware of what's going on around you.
I think adding in discernment is a good thing because often we expect others to understand and be compassionate, and it says they don't understand. And mine says have no such concern. I think sometimes we expect that from folks when that's not where they're at.
Which one did you say?
Discernment.
So it's going to take us being a discerning person to know, kind of like in some of the other verses, like, don't argue with a fool kind of thing, you know. It's like we have that expectation sometimes of people that it's, yeah.
I need to set my expectations appropriately for the person that we're dealing with. They still need to be high, but I shouldn't put them out of reach.
And don't agonize over them, I guess.
Yeah. Good. Verse 8.
Mockers inflame the city, but the wise turn away anger.
Mm. What are we talking about here? What's a mocker?
Another word for scorner.
Yeah. Another word for scorner.
Evil.
So someone who's a mocker, what do we normally say they do?
They mock you and make fun of you.
Make fun of, tear down.
Spend time on Twitter.
Yeah.
Showing side A.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter bullies.
Spread
gossip. Got what?
Spread gossip.
Spread gossip, yeah, mockers. They tear down and burn a city. Good. And a wise man turns away anger. And how do you how does that accomplished?
Love.
Grace.
Self-control.
You almost hate the difference in effect for the. Which kind of emphasizes why you can't let yourself become a mocker, because, you know, people are stupid and it's fun to mock, but it makes you feel not so stupid in the days that you are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to turn away anger is a one at a time situation. Well, at least we didn't let that spark grow into something. Yeah, alright, well, they're okay now, and that's one person.
Right.
Whereas this one single other individual can just burn it all down, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's different if it's just a one-on-one, but if it's a mob, it's causing the city to burn.
Contagious.
Like,
Los Angeles. Yeah, contagious. There you go. There's the flame.
Whatever. Like, what's happened in the country, they pop up here, they pop up there, they pop up everywhere, they're just burning the city down because they're mad about something. That's hard to 6.
I know some people at the Bible study I went to at IAPUI, they did a lot of pro-life stuff, but they would often be, being the minority, usually going to events like that. But there's a lot of trainings on how to carry yourself, not giving the more ammo. But they also came to put, you always go in a group. You know, there should be no one on the masses, one-on-one, you know. One-on-one when you're having those conversations, but specifically a combative person, you know, a mob, something like this, those who were inflamed, you know, and then, you know, they'd also come wearing, they'd have cameras and stuff like that, because they would get assaulted. They would get their stuff stolen, cursed out, or anything like that. It's just, make sure you're protecting yourself by your words and what you bring.
It seems that evil has more influence because human nature is reactionary. And when you're being mean or hateful, if someone reacts with kindness, you don't know how to react. It's not human nature.
Yeah, interestingly, our nature is evil, right? We don't really have to work at that.
No, that's where Satan rules. Yeah. It rules on this earth and puts more people on earth that turn towards me, towards God, and like disrespects God and disbelieves in God and tries to get more believers to turn away from God instead of, as Christians, trying to get those believers to turn back to God. That's what Satan wants. Always saying that people always get baptized and stuff. You got a big target on your back because Satan lost one non-believer, and he wants to try to do everything he can to pull you right back.
So what other categories can we assign this verse? So far we have many.
Influence.
There's a good one.
Definitely pride.
Pride.
Where's influence? I would lose it.
Influence is the bottom of line 4.
Thank you.
Path.
That's a good one. Tongue.
Yeah. Your tongue. Integrity. We said integrity earlier. We said selfish. I really like the ones that came up with mercy and grace. That's good. And love. Verse 9.
If a wise person goes to court with a fool, there will be a ranting and raving, but no resolution.
Very good. An argument with no resolution.
That reminds me a lot of like when you go and do evangelism with someone who is dead set, just doesn't really want to hear it, but you just go and do a circle argument just over and over and over again. They'll answer the question, but they won't accept it, and they'll just keep going over and over and over again. There really is no resolution to that because probably their heart is really hardened, and you're telling them the gospel, but they don't.
They're not ready yet. That happens in our daily life too, even if we have accepted Christ. Sometimes we don't want to hear correction, right? Whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the only one that's like that.
I deal with
this daily. That's right, you deal with this daily. Excuses. There's a category. We do have the category excuses here for verse 9.
Verse 9 says,
exhausted. What'd you say?
It's exhausted. There's no peace. You don't get anywhere.
Yeah. No peace. Exhaustion. How do you shut down the conversation at that point?
One way that I do. Sometimes,
yes. Sometimes I do. I do end it nicely.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Good.
Do you keep a gavel near your desk? So I don't know if you hear this, but...
Good idea.
I mean, the word there is literally rest. There's no rest. So the foolish person's still, you know, they're shouting their case from hell in a sense. Like, I don't deserve to be here. Someone's made a mistake in paperwork, you know?
And that raging kind of reminds me of being disrespectful.
Go back to verse 1, stiff-necked.
Stiff-necked.
Stubborn.
Or illusion, because sometimes they really, truly believe they're in the right.
Yeah. Yes. I would say they always believe they're in the right.
You know, we're prideful, too. We need to put a narcissist down.
I agree. That's a good one.
So, I love... Did we say illusion?
Illusion.
Yeah, because, yeah, I was going to say, it's interesting to think that there's no peace, and yet when they feel like they've won the conversation or they've made their point or whatever, it's really an illusion for them that they still don't have peace, you know? I'm sure that, and that can affect them physically too, so that's... Interesting.
Crystal typically tells a story, which I'm really surprised you're not now, but when she was in college, it was a Baptist Bible college out in Pennsylvania, and she worked at a restaurant, and she was having a conversation with one of the gentlemen there, and he says, well, why do you go to that school? I could break every rule that there is. And she said, so could I. The challenge is not breaking them. And kind of shut him down and became, he was very speechless for the remainder of the evening. And a level of respect was earned in her subsequent conversations with him. So that's quite, you know, people watch, people listen, mm-hmm. and then they have to think. Yeah. Any other... categories that you would assign this to? All right, definitely, let's go to, go ahead.
Definitely put discernment. I got counsel.
Counsel? Discernment?
I got prideful.
Pride? Good. Selfish, what'd you say? I heard. Did I hear another one? No, okay. Sorry.
Put down fools, but
you could even put truth on there.
Fools. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And truth. All right. So we'll kind of close the book there tonight. And as you're looking at your piece of paper, what has chapter 29 so far been?
Well, I don't think this is Beth. Instruction not to be that way.
Yeah, instruction, counsel, good.
I'm going to call justice.
Justice.
Saying, here's what's going to happen. This is a fair rule. What's going to happen in this county?
So let's put ourselves in the position of King Hezekiah, who's found this scroll and he's gone through this exercise of reading some of these today. And what do you think his goal was for the children of Israel at the time?
Instruction.
Instruction. This is the way it's going to be. We're going to straighten up, right? Can you imagine King Hezekiah? This is his goal, right?
It's kind of like in the book of Jeremy right now. It's our church. Jeremy.
I like it. Look at Jeremy.
I just go to church to go to church. Yeah, look at Jeremiah. That's how it's going right now. Like on my daily Bible plan, it's just nothing but people rebuking God and building them out of idols. We'll just talk about a blacksmith keeps beating the metal to mold it.
Good. Good job. Well, thank you very much for being here this evening. Do appreciate. Hope you enjoyed the time. Pastor Nate, would you close us out this evening?
Father, we love you and thank you for the time together as those who are looking to your word for wisdom, not from thousands of years ago, but for today. We know that your Holy Spirit is what inspired this word, and that's what lives in every single believer, causing us to work out our salvation, to put into practice what your will is for our life until it becomes our will, our want, our greatest heart. So help us to continue to do that as we live out this week, pursuing justice and mercy and kindness for others, but ultimately pursuing you, that you would increase our hearts to the love of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.